Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back. Christmas Eve on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer, Linnell Willingham sitting in for the guys today. Christmas Day tomorrow, football on Christmas, first game of the day, going to be the Cowboys and the Commanders. Let's go scouting to get ready for the game tomorrow. Joining us to do that from 96.7 The Ticket in Dallas, Donovan Lewis joins us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Donovan, how you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Good, Donovan. I hate that this game's going to suck, but you know, other than that, I'm fine.
I hear you. Right there with you.
What has been the feel of the Cowboys season this year? Where I think seeing Hard Knocks has been kind of interesting. I think the Cowboys have maybe come out of the winners of that because I thought the Schottenheimer hiring was a joke. And then now that I watch him on Hard Knocks, I'm actually a little bought into what he's doing. What's been the feel around Dallas this year with his first year as man in charge?
Man, I think your feel has been kind of the feel of everyone around here because it just felt like it was the easy hire. It was the one that he knows exactly how things are run in the complex and the organization, so there's not going to be any pushback about anything. And if you get one of these hot new guys like Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen or one of those guys, they may want to do things differently, maybe upset the apple cart a bit. But, yeah, at first it's like, oh, that's easy. Didn't even have to go outside the organization. He knows how it goes. And then everything that we've heard from Brian Schottenheimer leading up till maybe a few weeks ago has been, oh, man, this guy knows exactly what he sounded like a head coach. He knows exactly what he's doing. Now, I think the last few weeks, maybe the last few games, it feels like he's been a little bit overmatched coaching-wise. And since he's the offensive coordinator and calling plays and the offense hasn't been exactly what it's been before, maybe you're thinking, okay, there's a lot of tape around, so everyone knows what you're doing, so now you have to adjust. And maybe now the last couple of weeks he's getting a little pushback about his game plan and how the team has been going. But I'm with you as far as, man, I just don't know about this hire. It seems like he fits the script as far as the head coach goes. Now they're going to have to surround that guy with some talent, and maybe we can say, okay, well, if you're going to have all the pieces, can you put it together to have this overall feel of the team? Not just the offense, because the offense has been really good, but this defense, and it's been bad, and does he need to get a little more involved since he is the head coach? So it was a terrible start, a fantastic middle, but I feel like the ending has been a little bit downhill for him, and I guess he has a couple of weeks to see if they can – but I don't even think the last couple of games are going to change anyone's mind about how they feel about it now. I think he's winning some people over, but it's a long way to go.
So there was a report that came out in the Baltimore Sun about some things that the Ravens were displeased about in-house with their franchise quarterback, Lamar Jackson. When's the Trayvon Diggs dirt going to come out? We all know something's there. They're playing like it's not. It's probably a lot worse than what we could even imagine.
I'm with you. I don't even think it's – I don't even know if they're pretending to have everything is like I would call it, pancakes and Skittles, which are my two favorite things in my whole life. They're not even pretending anymore. It's just a relationship that's just ending, and I don't know where the trust was broken. Was it when he was working out somewhere else, and then they fined him $500,000, and he thought, oh, there's no way they're going to take $500,000 from me, and they did. I don't know if that started it. I don't know if them trading his buddy, Michael Parsons, to where he just felt like the writing was on the wall, that if Michael Parsons is going to go, he's going to go. But it crashed and burned pretty quickly with Trayvon Diggs and the Cowboys. And now I don't think there's a chance that he'll be back on this team next year, but I do think he'll find somewhere to play that will maybe maximize his talents. And I think he'll be okay. I don't think he's a trash player. I just think his attitude is gone. And when, you know, if you're in a relationship and it's not going well, why the heck are you going to give 100% in that relationship when you know it's not going to go anywhere? So I think that's where both sides are as far as that goes. And they brought him back last week and these last 2 weeks because they have to, because of Deron Bland being out and just the shortcomings that they have in the defensive secondary. So I think that's the only reason he's back on the field. If Bland wasn't hurt, I think you would see Trayvon Diggs as a healthy scratch the rest of the season, knowing that the relationship is done and dusted.
Talking with Donovan Lewis of 96.7 The Ticket in Dallas, Toby Altizer, Lenoe Willingham filling in as we scout the opponent, getting ready for the Cowboys. Donovan, looking ahead to tomorrow, is it the last time that we'll see George Pickens as Washington fans playing against us in a Dallas uniform, or are we going to have to deal with this for years where you've got a legit 1A, 1B situation with CeeDee and George Pickens?
I think it's going to have to deal with it at least one more year. They're going to have to make sure that they keep him around. I feel like that last year of Mike McCarthy, they set him up to fail and didn't give him the resources to try and do something good with this team. And I don't think they're going to do that with Brian Schottenheimer. I really don't. So if they have to utilize a franchise tag or tag him somehow, it's not going to make him pretty happy as far as not getting all the guaranteed money. But at least they'll use the leverage that they have to keep him around. So I think that you'll have to deal with him at least one more year. I think that's the bare minimum. I'm kind of in the market of them getting a deal done so they can manipulate the salary cap. And knowing they're going to pay him about $30 million a year, just try and see if they can front-load this thing or back-load it to make sure that they can play with the salary cap and keep adding to a defense that's been pretty bad. I just don't think you can go into next season, seeing what this offense has done this year, and say, we can subtract the Pro Bowl receiver and then just bring someone else in the draft and everything will be okay, because they tried that and it hasn't worked. So they have to make sure that they keep this offense going, and that is only going to work if you have George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb on each side of the ball. You can't even think of it any other way. So I'm sorry, Washington fans. I think you're going to have to deal with George Pickens for a while here at the Dallas Cowboys.
As we're getting ready to wrap the season up, grade the rookie year of Tyler Booker for us.
Man, I will give him a very, very solid B, which I think is a really good – seeing who he had to replace,
right,
and just seeing the circumstances of the year. Like, man, when you draft a guard in the first round, a top 12 pick, you expect him to be good. But if a guard is good, you really just don't hear his name.
Yeah.
So it's kind of odd and kind of weird to kind of grade it, because when you say, all right, this offensive lineman, we need him to plug and play, that means I don't need to hear his name on Sundays unless he's just destroying people. And you've seen a couple of times where Tyler Booker has been really good, but he's a rookie, and you've had some rookie moments, and that's just expected. But when you have to replace a walk-in Hall of Famer like Zach Martin, I think that raises the bar of expectation a bit, and it just kind of makes you grade a little bit, maybe on a curve, not to his advantage, which may not be fair to him, but that's just how it is. And I think any other team would have to be, or any other player, we'll be have to judge that way on any other team when you replace a guy like Zach Martin. So you can definitely tell that the interior of this offensive line is going to be the strength. They're going to have to figure out the tackle situation in order to take this offense to another level. And it's weird to say, because this offense has been really good and they've had some really suspect tackles. And if they don't get that figured out, then you're going to see that same thing next year. So they are very satisfied with that interior. And Tyler Booker is just a guy that they don't have to worry about, and just put him in and feel like for the next decade, he'll be right there at right guard, just replacing Zach Martin. And how crazy is that you can have a guy that you picked that you don't have to worry about replacing a Hall of Famer. So they're really satisfied with what he's done, and I think he's been really good this year.
On the other side, Donovan, a guy that I thought a lot of us out here thought the Commanders might go with in the draft, Donovan Ezeraku. What have you made of his rookie year?
Oh, man, it was a slow start. But I think that's pretty much expected, especially when you trade Michael Parsons a week before the season, and you don't know what the heck you have on the outside rushing the quarterback. And he's a rookie, and he's getting his feet kind of, seeing how he's going to go about in the NFL. But he's been really good. That's one of those arrows pointing up, because the Cowboys, the last couple of drafts before 2025, they missed the mark, and it's especially with their premium picks. And it's like, okay, you got to make sure 2025 is a success. If not, then that's what you see challenging the depth of your team. And Donovan Ezeraku has been a pleasant surprise here. I know everyone knew that he was going to be good, but the experience that they've had here with the Cowboys with young defensive ends is that it takes a year or two for them to even think about finding themselves and how they're going to be, what their role is going to be. And it took him about 6 or 7 weeks, man, but he's been in there making plays, and he's been noticed. Seems like he slowed down a little bit toward the end of the season, but I think that's expected also. But I think they're very, very happy with him. And those first two picks in the 2025 draft, man, you can even throw the third in with Savon Rivel, the guy that was hurt. He didn't come around until the Raiders game for the Cowboys. But their top three picks have been a swing and a hit. And that hasn't been the case the last couple of years. So I think the Cowboys, the front office, the fan base is pretty satisfied to see, okay, next year, but they have some games under their belt, they'll be fine. You don't have to worry about those positions. Now go fix and plug everything else.
Is this the year, speaking of like the success that they've had in the draft, and I think it's been, you know, sneaky, one of the best drafting teams over the past decade, if you look at, you know,
right,
where their premium talent has been and how they've acquired it, it's been via the draft. Is there fear amongst Cowboy fans that maybe this is the year you lose Will Clay?
Maybe. I don't know if that's a big-time fear. It feels like Will McClay is pretty happy with his role here. And I know Jerry is officially the GM, but he's getting paid like a GM. And probably, you know what? He's not getting the criticism of a normal GM because of Jerry and his stature. But so he can have those swing and misses, and no one will think badly about him, because right, if all just blame Jerry, it's one of those things where I don't think anyone wants Jerry to go away except the fan base. Everybody in the front office wants him to stay because he gets every single ounce of the blame that's going on with his team, and it's warranted. You know, 30 years without an NFC championship game appearance, and the only constant has been Jerry around here. So every finger is going to be pointed at him, and I think it's going to be a sad day if Will McClay decides to leave, and you just cross your fingers thinking, okay, the next hire is going to make all the difference in the world. I'll just say that. If you get a name that people will recognize and think, okay, maybe he can step in and do pretty well, then I think everybody will be okay. But I don't know, man. It's just, you always have to kind of hold your breath with hires in the Dallas Cowboys land, because you just never know what you're going to get. And just to make and appease Jerry and Steven is what everyone fears more than anything else around here.
Talking with Donovan Lewis as we scout the Cowboys ahead of tomorrow's game on Christmas. Talking about the Cowboys defense, I don't think they'll have any issue tomorrow slowing down Josh Johnson and crew. But going into next year, what have you made of Eberflus? It feels like they've had some ups and downs, played a little bit better lately than they did the start of the year. But is that a unit that, if they can get some stuff figured out, I mean, the offense, you would think, can still maintain a decently high level going into next year. Can they get that unit figured out so that they can be legit threats once again in the NFC East and NFC as a whole?
Yeah, I was going to, for Christmas, I'm going to give you guys a whiteboard. So when I'm going to write ups on one side and downs on the other for Mike Eberflus. And then you're going to have like two ups and like 700 down. Like, there's not a person around here that thinks Matt Eberflus will be the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys next year.
Wow.
Not a person. Mm. This defense has been really, really, really bad. When you have players walking in saying, look, I know you want to play zone, man, but our strength is man-to-man. Let's play more man. And you still don't do it, and you're not playing to the strengths of your players. then I just don't know what to say. That's what coaches are supposed to do. And I know he's been a coach, a defensive coach for a long time, and he has skins on the wall. But, man, it just did not work out. And if they don't bring him back, that will be four defensive coordinators in 4 years. And that's not a recipe for success around here. This defense has been terrible. And moving Eberflus upstairs to the booth where he hasn't been in 2 decades, it's kind of the writing on the wall thinking that they're going to have to bring someone else in. Now, the problem is Brian Schottenheimer is not going to be the guy that marches in and says, I want that guy as my defensive coordinator. It's going to be Jerry and Steven. And that's the problem, because he's not getting someone that he feels he can work with and, you know, they can work together to make this defense better. So, man, they did what they had to do as far as getting Quinnen Williams, and that made the defense better up front. But they got a long way to go because they didn't value defensive tackle until this year. And then they signed three guys that are making $20 million at defensive tackle. They don't value safety. In the middle, the second level of this defense has been atrocious this year. I mean, terrible.
Yeah.
So they got a long way to go and a lot of fixing to do. And what if the new defensive coordinator comes in and says, man, the players we have, they don't fit my scheme. We have to try and do something else. You can't do it in one draft because the Cowboys have two first-rounders. They don't have a second or third-round pick, minus the compensatory picks. They might get a bottom third-round pick, but that's it. So it's it's the ultimate work in progress, but they've got to get this hire right. They've got to bring someone in. If this Matt Eberflus, you got to give him the keys and say, you got to get the guys that you want to fix this defense if we're going to keep you here. But, man, I will bet dollars to donuts that it's going to be a new defensive coordinator this year. Next year.
I think it's got to be. They got to find a way to, one, cover better. You're right. I mean, coverage busts all over the place. More chance of that happening when you're playing a heavy amount of zone. But on the offensive side of the football, I think watching what Dak Prescott has done this year, super-duper impressive. Obviously, that was a big role, or he had a big role, I would assume, in Shoddy coming back as the head coach. Can you win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott being on this current contract? Are you able to – how much of a limitation do you think the contract is for in terms of their roster construction?
Man, that's always the burning question here, especially when you have the highest-paid player in the NFL. But you see so many teams paying so many players and still having success and still manipulating the salary cap. You know, sometimes it may get you in trouble. Look at San Francisco. San Francisco paid all their players. It got them in a little bit of salary cap hell. They had to get some players, release some players, cut some players, and they won 10, 11 games this year. It didn't take long. Look at Denver.
Right.
Denver had Russell Wilson, had to get out from underneath that contract. You're thinking, man, they're going to be in the pits for a while. And then still paying Russell Wilson, they're still right there in the mix winning the AFC West. So it can be done. It really, truly can. It's just about how much you want to leverage the salary cap and move the pieces around. They did it a ton when Tony Romo was quarterback here, trying to win, and they couldn't get it done. So now it feels like they're going the other way, saying, hang on now. We don't want to try and move too many chess pieces around because we don't want to have to kick the can down the road and get in trouble in the future. Well, man, you wasted a fantastic Pro Bowl Dak Prescott year. How many more does he have in him? Because we've seen players fall quickly and hit hard after a good year thinking, oh, they'll be fine the next year, and then it's not. So a wasted Dak year, you can't do that again, man, because that dude is 32, 33, just not as mobile. He was injury prone. You just never know when the next hit will sideline him. So you got to make sure that you put the right pieces around to try and win. I think you can. I really personally do. You can win a Super Bowl with Dak and that contract and him as quarterback. I really do. But you got to be creative, and you got to make sure that you hit in free agency. You got to hit in draft to put those players around them, especially defensively, to win, because they've invested heavily in that offense. They need to do the same thing in that defense.
Donovan, last thing real quick before we let you go. Prediction for tomorrow, and out here we're struggling to find things that we're interested in to watch tomorrow's game. What are some things that you guys are interested in watching tomorrow's game?
Boy, I think we're struggling together. The struggle's real. Yeah, no, nothing's on the line, so it feels weird that it's the opening game of Christmas Day and it has no ramifications whatsoever. We're all surprised that Dak's even going to play. Are you going to play some of the regulars? But a little pride is in there also, and they want to finish the season strong. You know, Josh Johnson, the ultimate test is a third string journeyman quarterback against the worst defense in the NFL. That's going to be the test. That's what I'm looking forward to. If he can move the ball up and down the field against the Dallas defense, scrap it and start all over because it's that bad. But it's just all about seeing if you can execute. You know what? They haven't had the Cowboys two losing seasons in a row since like 01 or 02 when they went 5-11 those 3 years in a row. So they win the last two games. They could be 8-8-1. Technically, that's not a losing season. That's probably what they're playing for and just trying to see who you can bring into the next couple of years when you expect to be a good team. So that's what you're looking for tomorrow. It's not about the results. It's about, okay, can you be with us in 27 and 28 when we expect to be a really good team? Show me now, and then we can do this now. So that's basically what I'm looking for.
You guys are talking about avoiding back-to-back losing seasons. We were arguing about QB3 and QB4 and Sam Hartman. Rough times right now for both of us.
It's rough times in the NFC East, man. I don't know what we did. I don't know what's happening here, but it's rough in the NFC East right now.
Well, I appreciate the time, Donovan, and have a Merry Christmas, man.
Thanks, Donovan.
Hey, thank you. Same to you guys. Really good talking to you.
That's Donovan Lewis. He joined us from 96.7 The Ticket in Dallas. Fantastic guest. Appreciate his insight on scouting the opponent. Next, taking a look ahead to tomorrow. Some predictions for Commanders and Cowboys. Also, looking ahead to the final two games. What are some predictions that you got? You want to hop in 800-636-1067. You're listening to Grant and Danny with Toby and Linnell filling in on Christmas Eve.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
My sweater works with this song. Little Run, Run, Rudolph. I love it. Getting set for Christmas tomorrow. Hour left with us here on The Fan. Toby Altizer, Linnell Willingham filling in for Grant and Danny today. I don't know what the heck Linnell is doing if you're watching the YouTube stream.
Well, I was dancing, Toby.
If that's what you call dancing,
all right.
I might actually be able to dance. If that's what you call dancing. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Predictions for tomorrow's game.
Oh, I can't wait. I may stand up to give mine.
What do you think is going to happen tomorrow? It could be a bold prediction. It could be a bad prediction. What do you think is going to happen in tomorrow's game? You can give us a score, but maybe even more so just individually, some things that you think are going to happen in tomorrow's game. Linnell, you teased this at the top of the show of something that might happen in tomorrow's game, or might not happen, I should say, in tomorrow's game. What do you got?
Well, thank you for the introduction. Dating back to last year, the inaugural season for Dan Quinn and company here in the nation's capital, in the two games against Dallas, we stunk offensively. In the first meeting, before Jaden Daniels threw that bomb at the end of the game, he had under 100 yards passing. In the second matchup, Marcus Mariota came in relief for Jaden Daniels and played well. Earlier this season, we struggled against Dallas offensively. My bold prediction is you combined it being Dallas with us being on a short week. And by the way, Washington on a short week twice under Cliff Kingsbury. Horrible offensive performance against Green Bay. Horrible offensive performance last year against Philadelphia. I think Washington gets shut out for the second time this season. I don't think they score a single point tomorrow. I went earlier and said I don't think they're going to score a touchdown. I now don't think they're going to score a point. Josh Johnson? Seriously. And the chat's going crazy. Talking about if he throws over 100 yards, it might be his career high. It might be.
There's not going to be one bust in coverage tomorrow for the Cowboys.
Dude, one of the guys
isn't going to slip and Terry catches a ball.
We could barely
Bill's
score.
Bill's not going to bust one open.
When Jaden was the guy, we couldn't score. And we can't run against Dallas because their D tackles whip our interior O-line's ass every time we played them.
Chris Rodriguez isn't going to be able to run the ball tomorrow.
Can I ask Producer Darius, EP of the show, can you do some quick homework for us, please? Can you look up Washington's rushing numbers versus Dallas in their last three meetings? The numbers are going to stun you. We can't run the ball versus them. And we're going to need it with Josh Johnson under quarterback, under center. We're going to have to run the ball. And we can't.
I don't want to see Josh Johnson throw the ball more than 15 times tomorrow.
And Quinnen Williams is now? Come on, bro. We struggled with Kenny Clark and Oso Digizua. We're going to get mollywopped tomorrow. Seriously.
I do think they're going to lose.
Bad.
I think that the Dallas offense is going to be able to do whatever they want. I think if I had to go with a prediction, I don't know that it's necessarily bold, but Pickens and CeeDee Lamb both go for 100. Dak throws for 400. Whew. Darius, what do you got rushing numbers-wise?
So in three meetings since 2024, looks like last year, am I seeing this right? This seems weird. Yeah, so we've run for a total of 394 yards across three games since 2024.
Okay.
But there's some big chunk runs in there that skew the per carry average. Just look at if you're looking at box scores here, Darius, from those games. It was rough sledding.
I'll look up some of these particulars if we can.
Darius was wearing his burgundy and gold colored goggles, so he tried to make it look better than what it is.
Well, so their last meeting earlier this year, they ran for a 136. Now,
dude, they were getting mollywopped. Does it count?
Jaden Daniels was 8 for 35. Mariota was 2 for 34. Their running backs 13 for 33. McNichols 2 for 22. Chris Rodriguez 3 for 12. That kind of speaks to your point. Aside from the quarterback run game, there wasn't a whole lot going on.
And some explosive pops of like 12 and 15.
The
down in, down out consistency running the ball versus Dallas has not existed.
The first game versus Dallas last year, which was the one where Jaden threw the long touchdown and then we gave up the punt return or the kick return right after. Jaden did carry the load with 7 attempts for 74 yards. The rest of the running backs, 22 yards on 9 attempts, 22 yards on 3 attempts. 1 for 14, so yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, and then the following game after that, the one they won in Week 18, 5 for 56 for Mariota, 4 for 27 for Jaden. Eckler was 3 for 12. B-Rob was 5 for 10. De'Ami Brown also got a carry.
That Mariota run was silly. I remember that.
Yeah, so they're just, to your point, when they turn around and hand the ball off, because Josh Johnson isn't going to pull some 6-carry-for-45-yard performance out of his rear end tomorrow on Christmas. That's not happening.
Can we like clone Josh Johnson and like give him ability?
So that's not happening tomorrow. So they're going to have to be able to run the ball with their running backs, Bill, McNichols, and with C-Rod. And it hasn't been the case, to your point, the last three times they faced him with Cliff Kingsbury. Just hasn't been.
I just thought of something cool. So we call Bill Kroski Merritt.
Yeah.
What if the trio was Chris, Jeremy Merritt?
No.
No?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No.
Doesn't,
no.
Not even you, Darius?
No.
Wow. By the way, Josh Johnson's career high in passing yards in the games, 317. He did that when he played for the Jets against the Colts in 2021. He only has one other 300-yard passing game in his career. That was when he played for the Ravens in 2021 against the Bengals.
He threw for 300 yards twice?
Twice.
Whoever the D coordinators were.
I mean, are they employed?
One of those teams with the Bengals, and the Bengals never have a good defense, so that's part of it.
That's so tough.
Were these like Week 17 games? I'm sorry, Josh.
No, it doesn't look like it. Yeah, this one was in the one versus the Bengals was in December. The one versus the Colts was in November.
Can I be honest? Can I give an honest answer here? Why I've been going so hard on Josh Johnson, and I'm sure the chat probably can relate. I haven't forgiven Josh Johnson for not beating the Titans under Jay Gruden when Taylor Lewan was about to DDT Josh Norman postgame. For him to not win that game for us and get us in the postseason, I haven't forgiven him.
Josh Johnson, when he won his start for Washington back in December of 2018.
Against Jacksonville, right?
Against Jacksonville. They won 16-13. His stats from that day, 16-25 for a 151, a tutty, no picks, took three sacks, nine carries for 49 yards.
That's pretty good.
That's not too bad. I've seen worse quarterback play in D.C. I'm having a feeling that it's probably not even going to be that good tomorrow.
No, it's not. So he averaged he threw for 151 yards on 16 completions?
Yeah.
His stat line here is hilarious because that's literally the only game where he had more than 15 pass attempts that he didn't throw an interception.
Wow.
Every other game that he's thrown more than 15 times,
maybe
he's thrown an interception or more.
Did the boys get Jay this week?
We had him earlier this week, yeah.
What? He should be coaching this weekend. He is clearly the coach that can get the most out of Josh Johnson.
He's the Josh Johnson whisperer.
Yeah, he is.
He's the one that can get him to play competent quarterback.
He was number one.
This is
oh, my God.
This is going to be tough.
I'm sorry.
Is going to be tough. To watch this game tomorrow, you're on the offensive side for Washington. You're saying they're not going to score.
No.
On the flip side, for Dallas's offense, for me, I think they're going to have their way because I think that Mikey will have a decent game tomorrow.
I think
he'll have a decent game because they'll be throwing to the other side of the field so much. Because whoever is on the other side trying to cover either George Pickens or CeeDee Lamb is going to get eaten up and spit out.
This is Dan Quinn calling the game. So when we played Dallas earlier, it was Joe. So maybe there'll be differences.
I do wonder, too, if...
Does he know tendencies better? Like,
which one of these teams is going to play with more heart? I think Washington has been in a spot now where they're kind of used to this. So they're going to play with the amount of heart we've seen over the last couple of weeks, which isn't desperation, but they still play hard. The Cowboys now being eliminated and having this game pop up for them on Christmas, I'm curious if you're going to see... I think certain players will play hard. There's no question. But is their whole team going to have a buy-in effort? I don't know.
If you don't think CeeDee Lamb is about to be on U Street tonight, then you have lost your mind. If you don't think CeeDee Lamb is going to be at MGM National Harbor tonight, you have lost your mind. If he acted a fool out in Vegas, what do you think he's going to do on Christmas Eve in Chocolate City? He's a bachelor too? And the bit that you're supposed to do on Christmas Eve when you're the bachelor is you're supposed to just get absolutely hammered. So we know he got hammered in Vegas at the Red Rock and threw up at 3 o'clock in the morning. What is he going to do tonight?
Who knows? Hopefully
I'll find him tonight.
Hopefully he's not carving up the old defense tomorrow at Northwest Stadium. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. What are some predictions for tomorrow's game? We'll take some of your phone calls next. You're on G&D on the Fan.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Christmas Eve. Toby Altizer. Lino Willingham sitting in for Grant and Danny today on Christmas Eve. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. As we talk about some predictions for tomorrow, also, if you'd like to go vote on our poll of the day, it's presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long-distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Go check out the 1067 The Fan Twitter page, X page, whatever it's called now, and check out the poll of the day. Looking ahead to the NFL draft, If the top edge rushers aren't available, talking guys like Arvell Reese, Reuben Bain, potentially. If the top edge rushers aren't available when the Commanders are on the board, who would you prefer to draft? Caleb Downs out of Ohio State, the defensive back safety, running back Jeremiah Love out of Notre Dame, or other? Currently sitting 56% Caleb Downs, 23% Jeremiah Love, 20% other.
Yeah, I'm a part of the 23% crowd. I didn't officially vote. Let's see how I swing the needle. Maybe that's why our esteemed producer sent me the poll so I can participate
in
it.
Yeah, of course. You know, media engagement, stuff that, you know, we're trying to do.
Kind of paid to do. But
I would take Caleb Downs. Yeah. I think he's the best player in the draft, maybe outside of Arvell Reese. I understand positional value. I think both these guys fall in that category of positional value and trying to figure out where they should wind up. But you could make the argument that these might be the two most talented players in the draft.
Here's the thing. On Caleb Downs, you have to go back to Eric Berry in 2010 to find the last time a safety was a top 10 pick. Before that, it was Sean Taylor in 04. It does not happen. And if there's a team silly enough to pull the trigger on him, first of all, let me say this. If we're at 8 overall and we draft, or 7 overall and we draft Caleb Downs, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be upset. I'm not going to be thrilled about the pick. Kyle Hamilton, pick 14. Derwin James, pick 17. And the positional value is not even close. Running back impacts winning more than safety. Can I interest you in Jahmyr Gibbs?
Can I interest you in Ashton Gentry?
Yeah, but the Raiders are stuck on stupid and did it the wrong way. We've built our offensive line. So we're ready for a dynamic game-changing back. The Raiders just said, who'll sell the most tickets? Oh, that guy. That's why they suck.
My thing is, if you're going to go offense, that's fine, but you're going to have to spend big time on defense. Defense is the issue. And I don't know that a running back, even though I would love to have a dynamic guy like Jeremiah Love, is he better than going and signing someone in free agency like, say, Rashad White? Yes, he's better. I'm not questioning that. But is the value better in terms of what you're going to have to pay Rashad White? Because the way that the league works, too, running back can be relatively cheap to get in free agency, especially those mid-tier guys.
Yeah. It's just tough, because I get it. You can go after a back in free agency. You also get a safety in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Both of these fall in the positional value, and I don't have an issue with either of them, because the question becomes, would you rather take one of these guys that maybe isn't positionally worth the pick, or would you just and take him because you believe that he's a blue chipper, building block type of player, or would you rather take a guy that maybe is an edge rusher that you're not as sure could be that guy? And in this draft in particular, where I don't view the top-end talent as great as other drafts, I'll just go ahead and take Caleb Downs.
Yeah. The other category there is probably a trade back.
Yes.
Something that is very much in the cards. How do you feel on that? Excuse me, as far as trading back. I want Adam Peters picking from the richest talent pool possible. So part of me is kind of against the trade back scenario, but
yeah, I do want to dive into that. Let's do that next. I want to talk about the draft. I also want to get into the NFL as a whole as we get closer and closer to the NFL playoffs, taking a look at tomorrow's slates for both the NFL and the NBA. We'll break that all down as we wrap things up next here on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer, Linnell Willingham filling in for the guys here on Christmas Eve.
You're going to say Fillingham.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny.
Yes!
106.7. I had to do it for you, Linnell.
Thank you.
You asked for it. Toby Altizer, Linnell Willingham sitting in for the guys today on Christmas Eve. Couple minutes, 30 minutes till vacation, boys. Well, I guess you're not vacation.
I'm about to say, what?
Maybe
I don't remember
vacation.
The last time I've had a day off.
Linnell's working tomorrow, working hard.
Working on a weekend.
What do you got tomorrow?
Damn. What
post-game
do I have?
Show.
Oh, post-game show here locally, then 10 to noon on Infinity, and then that's it. But I'm working.
Yeah, that's it. You're just working all day, but that's it.
That's it. No biggie. I can't wait to see that check in 2 weeks.
That's what
I can't wait to see.
Grant and Danny is exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Kanduri and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So we were talking about this before we went to break. We were discussing Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Love. Off of that, though, the other option on that,
yeah.
If the edge rushers are gone, Arvell Reese, if you like Reuben Bain, if those guys are gone,
yeah.
And you're stuck with the choice of Jeremiah Love with Caleb Downs, maybe even another edge rusher, or trading down, right? The other choice in there. We were talking about trading down.
Yes.
What is your inclination on that? Because, you know, Grant is always advocating for a trade down. He always wants to trade down. And I do understand the point of it, but there is a reason why earlier picks are worth more, because your chances, it's always a dart throw, but some of them are a lot closer to the dartboard
than others.
Where you have a better chance than others.
I mean, I'm stuck in between a rock and a hard place. Because the last time our overly handsome general manager had buku picks.
Six in the top 100.
Six in the top 100. He drafted one long-term starter. One.
I think two.
You think Mikey's going to be a long?
Yeah.
I hope he turns into it.
Yeah. I think it could be three with Brandon Coleman. But your point stands. Johnny Newton has not been nearly as effective as you hoped. Ben Sinnott can't even catch a football when half the tight ends are gone.
Yeah.
And Luke McCaffrey, he's come on nicely, but he's still just at best a rotational receiver. Maybe he can still grow in year three coming off the injury, and you hope that's what happens. But, you know, top 100 pick, he was pick number 100. You want a guy to step in and help you. So my thing with the trade down, Linnell, is I generally would be on board with it, and I think that if they have the opportunity, they do it. The thing that I'm weighing is if you have the opportunity to draft someone that you deem is blue chip, someone you deem is building block. Now, you can make the argument Jeremiah Love should be in that conversation. For me, it's more so defensive specific.
You can make the argument that Caleb and Jeremiah are the best two dudes in the draft.
Correct. So if you view those, fine. But I would try to trade down. But here's the issue. I don't know that there is anyone that wants to trade up. So what, are you going to trade down a pick so you can get a seventh?
Yeah.
Well, what, are you going to trade down four picks so you can get an extra sixth? Like, at that point, yeah, it might be worth it because you just don't have the picks. I don't think that trading down is going to be as big of an option as a lot of people make it out to be, because I just don't think they have anyone that's going to be interested. Because what do people trade up for? They trade up for elite offensive tackles and quarterbacks. And occasionally an elite edge rusher.
Maybe someone wants to trade up for the Miami tackle. I mean, I don't know if that's...
And I've heard some things, you know, from different draft experts that say, like, arms are a little shorter. They don't know if he's a tackle or a guard. And so I'm trading up for a dude that I know is going to be a dude, not someone that I'm still projecting. And I don't think they're going to be in a spot where Dante Moore is probably gone by their pick if he declares.
If he declares,
Fernando's probably gone by the time they pick.
Yeah.
So maybe Ty Simpson. That, honestly, Linnell, that's what I've been saying, is if you're rooting for something the rest of the way in the college football season, I've been saying this for weeks, you want Oregon and Bama to keep rolling and their quarterbacks to look awesome, and then both those guys declare for the draft. That helps out Washington.
It does. It goes back to, I can't help but bring up my opinions on the quarterbacks in this class. I think it's absolutely hilarious. I think it's absolutely hilarious that all of a sudden we're talking about Fernando Mendoza as the top quarterback in this class. He wasn't even thought of this time last year. I think it's fascinating what's going on. Especially if you're like, Cleveland is the team that everyone wants to pin a quarterback on. If Cleveland takes Fernando Mendoza, who's not a better college prospect than Shedeur Sanders,
I
would vomit.
I don't understand why teams that have drafted a quarterback like this year, Tyler Shuck, like they're going to roll with him. He's actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, he has.
Shedeur, I would just roll with him or Dylan Gabriel, either one. I personally prefer Shedeur. I think that he can play, but at that rate, I would just say, now the tough part is Stefanski's on the hot seat. If he keeps his job, can he go another year where it's like, hey, we don't have our quarterback, but we're going to find him? Like, I don't know, but I would much rather roll with Shedeur than try to draft one of these guys and turn him into it. But I do think that is interesting. I don't know that they're going to be able to trade down. I think I would click that button if I could. But at the same point, if you said Caleb Downs or trade down and you look at the packages that they'll get, it's not going to be significant. Like, I think some people view a trade down like, oh, yeah, they'll be able to recoup a fourth or a third. And I don't think so.
It depends on how far they choose to fall, because that ultimately determines the package.
But then
I think it's about replenishing that second and fourth round pick that you lost.
Well, and here's the interesting part about it.
Like, you get a four for Deron.
If they have to drop way down, I also don't mind that, because I kind of think once you get past those top level guys in this year's draft, like say you're picking eighth or seventh where they kind of are, I don't know that the difference, with the exception of the blue chip guys that we're talking about, but you don't know if the positional value is there, I don't know that the difference between the edge rusher or whatever you're looking for at seven is all that different from 27.
Yeah.
Because Arvell Reese is gone.
Right? And this is scary. This is the bad year to need an edge. There aren't a ton of guys that have production. It's a lot of Mykel Williams-like prospects in this class.
Yeah, and he's been up and down, and he's hurt.
Bailey's got the numbers. If you got to watch Cassius Howell this weekend, like, he didn't even look like a first-round pick to me. Reuben Bain's a tweener. He's going to get obliterated during the pre-draft process. The kid from Auburn just doesn't have
Keldrick Falk,
you know, blaring production. So it's an interesting year. I would trust Dan Quinn with Arvell Reese, though. I would. I think he can.
I just don't know that they're going to be in a position to draft Arvell Reese.
What if they traded up?
No.
Deron Payne trade up package?
Well, first of all, no one's going to want Deron Payne.
What if it's only a couple of spots?
No one's going to want Deron Payne.
Very true.
It's only a couple spots, that's awesome, but you're going to have to give up something of value, and it's not Daron Payne.
What if there's someone out there that wants Jazon Newton, former
Well, now,
second?
Now you got my interest.
Yeah, he's the guy I'm most excited to see tomorrow. You know what's going to be really they elevated Ricky Barber from the practice squad. Some of you are probably like, who?
Tiki Barber.
Yeah, right.
Rondé Barber.
So the active D tackles are going to be Kinlaw, Newton, and Ricky Barber. And Sheldon Day. I think Sheldon Day is going to start next to Kinlaw tomorrow. I don't even think Jazon's going to get the first snap. Watch.
Man, stop.
I'm being for real.
I don't get the point of that.
I don't get the point of...
Now... Now, part of the issue is I think that stylistically, Kinlaw and Newton are similar, although their body types are very different. They're both penetrators. Get up the field. And Payne works perfectly as a complement with that.
He's a good run stuff for Payne.
Because that's more of what he is versus Kinlaw and Newton are just going to get up the field. And whatever happens, happens. So putting them on the field together probably doesn't stylistically work. But please, play him more than 35% of snaps or whatever he's been playing.
It's frustrating.
He should be on the field over half the time.
He should be a better football player.
Well, yes.
Like,
I was told he was a first-round talent. I'm waiting. Anytime you'd like to show us.
We had two D tackles under contract on the roster, and they wasted it.
Well, and by the way.
And wasted a pick on this kid.
Back to my point that I made earlier. They got rid of one and then signed another.
Yeah.
So they clearly don't like this guy or don't trust him.
Or don't think he's ready. They've had, like, mismanagement. Like, there's no way you bring back Ertz and John Bates this year. Bring them back knowing that you have Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott could be John Bates, bro.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see the George Kittle part. I've seen some of the Kyle Juszczyk stuff. I'm waiting to see the George Kittle part.
I know you're being serious, but that just popped me. Because guess what? You can wait and keep waiting.
Yeah.
You can go to Outback and wait every table.
I mean,
won't be that.
Here's the question.
He's just not that guy.
Let me look up George Kittle's season this year. I got a question.
Oh, you mean the guy that's been over 100 yards receiving several different times this year? The Niners' best pass catcher outside of McCaffrey?
George Kittle, I'm being somewhat facetious here, but George Kittle this season has 52 receptions for 599 yards. A little bit of a down year. I think he's had some injuries, right?
How does Ben Sinnott get to 50 catches before his rookie contract's over?
Well, I was going to say, but end of career.
Seriously.
He's at 11 right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's embarrassing. His biggest play of his career is a fake punt.
You know, to his credit, he has really stepped up his production from last year. If we did percentage-wise, I mean, it is over twice the amount. 28 yards last year to 82 yards this
year.
You're
being a jerk.
I mean, he's gone up big time. I mean, he's increased his reception production by 20%, 5-6.
It's one of them situations where... It's one of those situations where it's like, you know, Ben Sinnott's got a friend group. They're like, oh, snap, my dog just got drafted in the second round, tight end, about to catch passes. He's a professional blocker.
His long this year is three times longer than last year, 12 to 36.
That's something. You're good at math, aren't you? I don't know, man. I pray for Adam Peters and company. Can I be honest? And I know I'm probably going to get reprimanded by either the producer or someone in charge for saying this. I'm at the point now where next year's it for me with this group, with this regime.
I mean, I don't think that's crazy at all.
Like, from at least with Adam, I think Adam's seat should be warmer than Dan's.
No, I don't agree
Adam
with that.
Adam is the one picking him.
I don't agree with that, but I understand your point. I do think that this idea that this team could just lose 11 of 12 to finish the year, and you're just like, oh, good. No problem.
Yeah.
What? Excuse me?
I just can't wait to that end of season presser. And I think... They're gonna get like a week to do it because they're gonna have their exit meetings and stuff, and this is just gonna give them time to prepare their script for what they're gonna say. And I wish we could call Danny right now. I wanna reenact. Can we put our brains together here in studio to do that? Can we have our end of season presser now for the Commanders? Like, hey everyone. It was a good year and we were
Can I just tell you your Josh Harris is horrible? Like, I know that's what you're going for. Yeah. It's horrendous. It's very bad.
Well, I mean, Dan and Adam,
it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I can't wait to hear how they explain what the hell happened this year.
They're going to say injuries.
Hey, we missed the mark big time. We missed the mark big time.
They're going to say injuries, and the issue I have with that is I'm not going to dismiss that injuries haven't played a role this season. I'm watching San Francisco go out there and clinch playoff spots, and they're missing Fred Warner. They're missing Nick Bosa. They're missing big-time guys for big-time stretches of the season or for the entire year. And the dudes that you're missing are not on the same caliber as Fred Warner and Nick Bosa.
Not at all. It is frustrating. I wish we would have had like Talanoa Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw here, who are just playing. Hufanga's playing the safety position better than anybody right now.
You want something sneaky? I would prefer that they don't sign former Niners. Please.
I mean, the ones that they should have brought in, they didn't.
Show me that you can go evaluate guys that you weren't buddies with from your time in Dallas, Dan Quinn, from your time with the Niners, and stop with that. Enough with that. We killed Ron for this, and they've done some of that here. And it worked last year.
Yeah.
This year, it's not as cute when it doesn't work. So enough with that. Real quick, let's take a look at tomorrow's games, and then we'll get you a player to lock in on before we get out of here. But taking a look at tomorrow's games in the NFL, not a whole lot interesting in these games. Let's be real. Cowboys Commanders kicks things off at 1 o'clock. I don't know that anybody's outside of Dallas or Washington is all that interested in that game. We'll talk a little bit more about that game as we get our player to lock in just a few. Lions-Vikings is the second game.
Max Crosmer.
The Lions still have something to play for. If they win out and the Packers lose out, there's still a chance. The Packers wrap up the season with the Ravens and the Vikings. I think they'll win one of those final two, if not both of them. So it likely doesn't matter, but the Lions can at least put a little bit of pressure on them with a win against Max Crosmer and the Vikings tomorrow.
I mean, that game's going to be a snooze fest, too. It's going to be awful football tomorrow.
Here's what I'm rooting for tomorrow. The guys that I have in fantasy need to go off in my championship. So, Jahmyr Gibbs, let's roll. Now, I have a rule that I cannot have guys from the NFC East on my team outside of Commanders. So, luckily, I don't have to root on any Cowboys. That'll never happen.
It's a hell of
Cowboys
a rule.
Are not allowed on my fantasy team. Never will be.
Okay.
That's how I always played fantasy, too.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't want to be in a situation where I'm rooting for Eagles and Cowboys and stuff.
I can't have that. Now, Broncos and Chiefs is a nightcap tomorrow. I had Pat Mahomes. That's obviously not a thing anymore. That game is funny that you had one team. If I told you going into this week, before the season, that Christmas Day, nightcap, Broncos, Chiefs, one team's 12-3, one team's 6-9, no one would have picked it being the Broncos being the 12-3 team.
Not at all. It's been a total stunner for what's happened to them. And I don't know, man. Kansas City's in a world of hurt. What do they do at quarterback? Do they bring in a veteran? When does Pat return?
I think Pat will be back pretty early next season. But I would try to have somebody ready for at least the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I would expect, though, that he's back pretty early in that one. Real quick, let's take a look at the NBA slate for tomorrow.
Yes.
There's some good games tomorrow. So let's start with the noon tip-off, Cavaliers and Knicks. I haven't paid a ton of attention early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell, though, had a great game when he was here at Cap One a couple of days ago, and he's averaging almost 31 a game. They've been awesome. I love my sneaky hot take is that I kind of hate that the NFL's taking over Christmas because I enjoyed watching Christmas Day basketball.
Mm, that is very hot.
I loved watching Kobe on Christmas. Like I don't know why it's Kobe in particular, but I have vivid memories of watching the Lakers and Kobe Bryant on Christmas.
Yeah, I was a Kevin Durant Christmas guy. KD always goes off on Christmas.
Game of the day tomorrow, though, Linnell, 2:30, Spurs and Thunder.
Yeah, Western Conference Finals preview and another chapter in what is going to become the best rivalry in the NBA.
You're putting the Spurs in the WCF already?
Yes. Well, they're the 2 seed in the conference. Like, I mean, they're legit.
26-4, 22-7. Thunder have 4 losses on the year, 2 of them coming against San Antonio.
The Spurs are legit. They're here, baby. And Wemby hadn't even really been unleashed because of what he's been dealing with the calf strain. So I think they're going to be legit. Their role players, to me, are better than the role players in OKC. I think they're going to overtake them as the Kings of the West. Season's end.
I got to start paying attention to some of these things going on in the NBA. Some of these numbers I'm seeing for these guys are insane.
Yeah.
Mavs and Warriors at 5 o'clock. Warriors are just at 500 at 15-15. 8 o'clock, Rockets and Lakers.
That's a goodie.
I didn't realize the season the Lucas had so far.
Man, what?
34, 8.6, and 8.8.
He's going crazy.
34, 9-9?
If he was crushing the league while he was fat, now that he's skinny, what the hell did you expect?
I feel like he misses a game like every other game.
He does.
They've been doing a lot of load management with him.
He does, but ridiculous. 34, 8-8, that is insane. Nightcap is a good one as well. Timberwolves and Nuggets. 10:30, Jokic averaging a triple-double right now, 29 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, some of these dudes are insane.
Yeah. The NBA is in a very good spot right now as far as talent goes. Do you know, look at the number one seed right now in the Eastern Conference. I bet you the average bear wouldn't be able to tell you who the one seed is in the East right now.
One seed in the East, yeah, I would not be able to. The Detroit Pistons.
Detroit basketball.
Look at the way that... I mean, Kate Cunningham is balling out of control right now.
All right, got about a minute left here, Linnell. Player to lock in on. Let's get to your player to lock in on. Presented by Baldino's Lock-In Key, your hometown security team for auto keys and fobs. Visit baldinos.com. You teased yours a little bit earlier, but I'll give you mine real quick. Mikey Samristil. I talked about him a little bit earlier. I want to see what he looks like on the outside against some of these top dogs in CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens. Big opportunity for him. Not a whole lot to pay attention to tomorrow, but I'm going to be watching Mikey.
You're going to think I'm doing a bit? My player to lock in on is the Commanders' lone Pro Bowler, Tress Way. He is going to have a monster game tomorrow because of field position. Hopefully, he can pin Dallas back and flip the field every time he punts. We're not going to score a touchdown. Remember, I said it. Hammer the under in this one.
I said facetiously before the show that I was going to say Sam Hartman holding the clipboard on the bench. Yeah. Might be something like that.
I mean what I say about Tress, though.
Appreciate everybody hanging out today. Appreciate the guys behind the scenes, Darius, Metal Chris, Linnell. Merry Christmas to everyone. If you missed Grant Paulson today, don't worry. He's going to be on next. The Paulson brothers, Grant and Logan, have Take Command for you next here on 106.7 The Fan. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you for coming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks.
Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.